Blog Talk Radio.
Studios and another edition of the weekly video recap.
Consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that is my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show, live from High Atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together where we bring you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday night, the August of the 19th. I hope you guys have had a great week. It's been a tiring one for me. I am exhausted tonight, folks. So I don't know how long this show is going to go. We'll see what my energy level does. Maybe my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Towinski, will be able to inject me, so to speak, with some energy, some steroids or something to get me juiced up. But I'm exhausted. We'll do the best we can. We've got a lot to talk to you about. Got the resurgent Yankees, who have just been mashing but playing great baseball. Just coming back from a game of the Boston Red Sox, 2 out of 3 from the White Sox, and on ready to start a four-game series with the Minnesota Twins. We'll talk a lot about the Yankees tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the Mets, who have not fared so well. In fact, the Yankees are 27-11 in their last 38 games. So good for them. Probably the best team in baseball right now, I would say. But then we'll talk about the Mets, who dropped 5 of 6, got a win last night after their owner put out a little bit of a Twitter. I want to ask Jeff about this. I wonder what baseball would be like today, or back when George Steinbrenner was around, if he had been Twitter. I mean, George was all over everybody through the papers. Could you imagine George Steinbrenner with the availability of Twitter? We'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But the Yankees are playing some great baseball. They're fun to watch right now. Yeah, they're still hitting home runs, but they're putting ball in play. They're stealing bases. They're bunting. They're doing a lot of good stuff and getting some good pitching, although their bullpen has not been very good. Had it not been for their bullpen, they would probably have another 4 or 5 wins total. But that's okay. We'll talk a little bit about the Jets and their bad luck today. Carl Lawson, a guy I was looking forward to watching, ruptured his Achilles. In a joint practice with the Packers. Packers have given them Jets all they can handle. And this is not the D-string line, the backup defensive line for the Giants. This is the number one unit for the Packers, and they're giving the Jets all they can handle. So we'll see. And I think the joint practices are a good thing. The Giants are doing it with the Browns. Each team's playing their respective partners this weekend, so we'll get to that. We'll talk about the one negative I had from last week's Field of Dreams game. We'll talk sports betting. Jets Giants. We'll talk about Jamal Adams, Deshaun Watson, Josh Rosen, Jets Giants, Yankees, Mets, and who is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history, which I think is an interesting one. Somebody posted John Elway, and I thought that was interesting. And I had a hard time buying into that. But listen, we got a lot to get to. I hope you guys have had a great week. I want to announce a couple of things. We had a big announcement tonight regarding the show, which I'll wait for Jeff on. He's hanging in there. We're going to bring him on right now. And I want to announce that Chasm Sultan will be back on the show September the 2nd. Chasm hasn't been on for a while since, I believe, 2019. He was part of our live broadcast from Juicy Lucy with Jeff and I. We got to meet Chasm, take some photos, and he'll be coming back on in a couple of weeks to join us. Thank courtesy of Nick Marino putting that together. So thanks, Nick. Enjoy your vacation. And again, guys, lots to talk about. Big announcement. We'll do that a little later. Even got a little something I got to add in there for Jeff. But you know what? Let's kick the show off. Let's get Jeff on, and let's let the party start, as they say. And here he is, the backbone of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, my good friend, and a guy I'm looking forward to hanging out with this weekend, Mr. Jeff Kowinski.
See this right here?
What am I looking at, Jeff?
Votes.
Votes?
Votes.
Votes of what?
Votes are in.
You've taken some sort of a poll, I guess?
I take polls all the time. I just don't include you in them because I don't want to frighten you off.
You don't want to frighten me off? Okay. I appreciate that because you probably would frighten me off.
Okay. We're going to be leaving the name of the show as the Pinky Mac and the Czar Show for right now.
Okay. We're not changing names. Let's see,
Matt.
We're not changing the name. No, Mark Rim is not overrated. He was never good. He can't be overrated if you weren't good. But God, so we're not leaving the show. What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you. Anyway, speaking of overrated quarterbacks, if I could throw my hat in the ring on this one real quick.
Go ahead.
Eli Manning.
Why did I just guess that was coming down the pike?
Eli Manning, and I'll tell you why.
Here we go. I'll tell you right now who the most overrated quarterback in NFL history is. It's simple.
Who?
Joe Willie Namath is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history. Yes, he is.
See, you can't spit venom, man.
It's not venom. Go look at his stats. Go look at the wins and losses. Go look at everything. The guy won a big game. Didn't even play well in the game. He was okay. He wasn't terrible. The guy is the most overrated quarterback in NFL history. I'm not saying he's a terrible quarterback.
I'm saying he's terrible and the most overrated quarterback of all time, Eli Manning.
There's plenty more to say. But we
is a 500 quarterback.
Okay.
500 quarterback has two Super Bowls with two losses. Caught New England on two bad days. Come on, please. Please.
I will put my man Eli up against your boy Namath any day.
I'm not saying that I thought that Joe Namath was the greatest quarterback under the sun.
He's overrated. He's overrated.
I never said he was overrated.
He is overrated. It's not even close.
Matt's trying to
yes, I think that's a good one, Matt. I think people make a big deal out of Donovan McNabb, but I never thought Donovan McNabb was any good. I think Cam Newton. Throw Cam Newton in that ring. Throw Cam Newton's hat in the ring.
Is Troy Aikman overrated?
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
Oh, yes, it's this one.
Yeah, he's never going to go for that one. Are you kidding me?
You know, I love it.
He just pooped out a star. Are you kidding me? He just pooped a star. He's
towing around it, trying to make everybody else in that era look bad.
Yes.
His boy looks good.
Patrick, as usual, you're a shining light in the sea of storms here. You know Matt's going to say that, of course. I don't think Troy Aikman was overrated. I just don't think he was as great as people thought he was. But he was a really good player. Namath was overrated.
You don't understand that these certain players during that era, Mark Rippon, McNabb, even Aikman, okay, they were playing at a different time.
I agree.
It was a different
but
time.
I'm not to, yeah,
it
but
was
I,
the end. It was the end of that era or the beginning of the end of that.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking on overrated. And Matt's going to go completely rip me on this one. But Tony Romo, everybody, Romo was a great quarterback. He was a tremendous quarterback. Tony Romo was overrated as a quarterback. I mean, just overrated. Never won big games. Tony Romo was an average, a better than average quarterback. He was overrated. There were guys who just weren't very good. Mark Rippon wasn't very good. But people thought Tony Romo was better than he was. Tony Romo's an overrated quarterback.
All right, you know what? Listen, we could do that real quick, but I want to just stay on Matt real quick.
Good.
Right, because of what he's saying. He's an overrated guy who was a product of a huge offensive line, okay, which he, I would have, they were probably drafted. I don't know much about the Dallas team at
Time. Yeah, they put together a great team.
He was a good quarterback. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry. Excellent running back and a great tight end and a receiver. To me, that's an all-around offense.
Sure, it was a good offense.
If you have a great offensive line, a great receiver, a great running back, and a great tight end, you're talking about an excellent – he doesn't have to be – the greatest quarterback in the world. I wouldn't say he was overrated.
Yep.
I would say he was part of a great offense.
Yeah.
Don't you? Would you?
No, here's the problem with football. It's hard to pinpoint. Now, was Troy Aikman great because he had Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and a great offensive line? Did he make those guys better because he was great? It's hard.
Did he make them better?
Right. See, I would – here's why I would look at it. I think Tom Brady is great because – nobody around Tom Brady was a Hall of Famer, yet he won, found a way to win, you know, 7 Super Bowls. So I think that's the measuring stick. Now, I think Troy Aikman was a Hall of Famer. I don't know the chicken before the egg. I don't know if it's Troy Aikman was great, so he made those guys great. Did those guys make Troy Aikman great? That's the – how do you figure that out, Jeff? You know, how do you come up with the formula to figure out who makes who the great player?
I don't know. Let me ask you something, Tom. Mm-hmm. Is it that they made each other better, or was there an overall all-around offense?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. Yeah,
mean?
Yeah. I think it was a great mixed team.
Smart drafting and smart free agency moves and pickups and everything else are going to make your team better if you take the right people for the right teams and everything else. You can't just take any old player for the old position.
No, I agree.
You got to get one that will fit into what you're doing and the offense and the scheme that you're trying to run, without a doubt. You know what I mean?
I think Matt brings up a good one in Terry Bradshaw. Now, I don't think Terry Bradshaw was a bad quarterback, but the guy played on countless Hall of Famers all around him on that defense. So, I mean, it's hard that era. I think the guy who might be most overrated of that era might be Bob Greasy. I think Greasy was a good player, but I think Greasy was way overrated. But to me, the biggest one is Namath, because he only won the 1 Super Bowl. The team were bad other than that, and his stats were terrible. I think Namath's the most overrated quarterback, and that's not picking on him because he was a Jet. That's just my opinion. I think Joe Namath's all about name. It's all about the promotion.
Well, listen, you got to think about what he did and when he did it, too.
Again,
you know, I would
big
never
moment.
Come on here and ever say that Joe Namath is the greatest quarterback in NFL history. I mean, that's just... You can't. You just can't say that at all.
Absolutely.
But you have to understand what it is that he did and against who he did it.
100%, Jeff. 100%. I'll say it 100 times. I think he won the most important game in NFL history. I don't think he played the best game in NFL history. I don't think he was close to being the top quarterback in NFL history.
You know what? You don't have to. You know, here's the thing, too. Okay? And everybody, this is going to be subjective because everybody that's between Matt and Patrick and me and you that are saying something, you're not going to get the same answer from anybody. But how could you say that one person is overrated over the other? Some guys have a great offense.
Sure.
Some guys had a great defense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some guys had a great passing game. Some guys had a great running game. So, you know, there were all different aspects to what made some of these quarterbacks the players that they were.
Yeah, and I agree.
Some of them might have been considered game managers.
Listen, I agree with you 100%. I think there's a lot of guys you could put in that category, Jeff, who are good players on great teams. And because of that, their status is elevated. And Matt brought up a good one, Dan Fouts. I think Dan Fouts was a great quarterback. Same thing about Dan Marino. I think Dan Marino was a great quarterback. They weren't on great teams, so they didn't win a lot of big games. But I think those guys were great quarterbacks. I go back to Matt's Terry Bradshaw. I think that's another good one. I think Bradshaw was a good quarterback on a full-time team.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Any of the people that were mentioned, okay, mm-hmm. can any of them make it in today's league? Aikman, Fouts, Bradshaw, name it. Any of them. McNabb.
I don't
Griffin.
Know. Yeah, I mean, I think Dan Fouts can throw the football in any league, but I think the big problem with a lot of those guys, Jeff, is they weren't – they didn't need to be then, and they weren't mobile. They didn't have to be runners. You look at the guy like Aaron Rodgers, who is not the fastest guy in the world, but Aaron Rodgers is a mobile quarterback. I think some guys, Marino could have played in any era. I think Elway would have did great in this era, just because their style of play. I think the great ones could play in any era. The mediocre guys, no, I don't think so. Could Phil Simms have played today? No, I don't think Phil Simms could have played today's football. And I'm a huge Simms fan, so.
You know, like it's a different era. You know,
absolutely.
You got the guys that didn't run well, they didn't have to run well. They had a running back.
Correct. It was a whole different game back then. No, 100%.
Yes, exactly. Different game. What you could say.
Whole different game. But, Jeff, listen, you know, I think we should get our announcement in. I like to do it early because we got a lot of people listening or watching right now. Talking to him was a little before my time, so I can't go to him too easily, Patrick.
I remember talking to him playing. I remember him being he was very mobile too,
yes.
But he was kind of small, if I remember.
He was very small, yep.
You know, like under 6 foot small. Mm-hmm. Surprised he didn't get killed. He would look so small out there at times.
Yep, I agree. Now, we have a big announcement. We're going to get it over with while there's a lot of people listening. Then we'll get to my dad, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about, Jeff and I. And, Jeff, by the way, I am very much looking forward to Saturday night at the Towinski Abode. Looking forward to seeing the gazebo.
I just found out that Joseph will not be in attendance.
Okay.
Just letting you know he is going away that night.
Oh, okay.
So... unfortunately, we will not have Joey there, but we're going to have going to the store tomorrow. It's going to be a 2-day shopping venture.
Wow, look at you.
Party. I will be taking cash donations throughout the night.
I'll have to play some cards just to let you in a little, maybe. Recoup some of your money. But,
I have to go rob a fucking bank.
But real quick, we're going to do this. So I was approached by Tom Bryce. Who's the son of a friend of Jeff and I, Sharon, who used to sing in a Hard Rock and Sports Band. And Tom offered to has a radio station, an internet radio station, called SportsWire. And they're very popular right now in the United Kingdom. And, yes, very popular in the United Kingdom and here as well. But they're a major part of his audience is out that way. And Tom's looking for some content, and he offered to take the Hard Rock and Sports Show, this Thursday night edition, and played on his show at some point. He hasn't kind of determined yet when it will be rebroadcast or how many times it will be rebroadcast. But Jim and I decided we thought it was a good idea. And we're going to be it's not a live thing. We'll just I'll edit down the show a little bit, throw some stuff up. I'll put it on a disc for the man, so to speak. And Tom will be rebroadcasting the Hard Rock and Sports Show. We'll be opening up to a whole new crowd of people, Jeff. So that's one. Two, he's also offered us a weekend show, Sunday mornings, talking football. Now, I got a couple. Me either. I haven't heard from him either, Jeff, so I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Anyway, so Sunday mornings, there will be an hour to an hour and a half football show. We did a little bit last year. It was tough for Jeff. It's tough on Jeff because he works. He pops in when he can and stays as much as he can, even if it's just to throw a couple of jet, break down the Jets for me and bash the Giants. I will be doing it every Sunday morning. I'm going to be springing this on Jeff because it just came up before the show. I am going to have a third wheel on the show for Sunday mornings. The lovely and talented Mr. John Marheff will be part of the broadcast. John, has been itching to get on the air and do a little sports with us, and I thought adding John would give us a nice little round table every Sunday when Jeff's available to be on. Jeff's not, then John will be there to help me out and bring a little different perspective. It was better to have at least another body in the room. So Jeff and I will be joined. Now, the funny part, we need to come up with a new show name because we're not going to take the Hard Rock and Sports Show to Sunday mornings. So we need to come up with a football name.
It's clearly evident that I'm in on the outs, going to be replaced soon.
Jeff, you can never be replaced, my friend. You can never be replaced. You're one of a kind, and my dear friend, and I would never do this without you. So, John has always wanted to be part of a Sunday morning football show. We talked about it in the past, and when I was offered it, I said, you know what? I think bringing a third wheel on Sundays would be nice. So John will be on Sundays whenever possible to be on. Of course, I know you're have your regular gig, but we'll do Sundays together. We got to come up with a football. We got to come up with a show name, and that will kick off on September 12th. So make sure you tune in to see. Well, I don't know if it's going to be we're doing it here. It's probably just going to be on the radio. I don't know if it'll be on the Facebook ad side. I have to see how his thing works. But Jeff, John, and Tom show of some sort will pop up every Sunday morning. We'll do a little football, do a lot of football, and we'll have some fun. And then in the meantime, this show will broadcast on the SportsWire Network. So I want to say thank you to Tom for, first off, for making the offer and allowing us to be part of his family. And I hope you guys support that as well as you do us. And, of course, thanks to Jeff for agreeing to everything, because I couldn't do this without him. Of course, I thank John for wanting to be a little part of what we do here. So we just got to come up with a name. Yeah, so if you guys got some names, I don't like that one. Matt Cole, Tommy, and Jeff's NFL breakdowns. We need a catchy name. Yeah, we need something catchy, Jeff. I don't know. You're usually pretty good at that. Yeah, I'm gonna have to rely on you.
I already got a name, man.
Don't even try the one you texted me today.
I already got a name.
It won't come up.
Where is it? Where is it? Captain Yucko and the new Lollipop Guild, baby.
That's not going to happen, but a good try. So Sunday mornings, as you'll be able to tune in, we'll do some fantasy football. We'll do NFL games, and we'll do it all, and we'll do it in an hour and a half, so it doesn't affect the Sunday. And I'm looking forward to doing some live stuff, on Sundays. I always wanted to do this. So, Jeff, we're branching out, my friend. We're branching out.
I hope that's all it is branching out, and that somebody's not getting moved out and kicked out.
Why would you ever think you're
going to be left alone right now?
Why would you ever think you're getting kicked out of anything?
I don't know. All of a sudden, John Marheka comes out of nowhere. Sunday mornings. Right?
I just feel like it's a good move for the show. We get a third voice in there. John will definitely be lending his vast knowledge, especially of the AFC, because he's a big Steeler fan, and he'll be another wheel to bounce some stuff off of.
He ain't that far away.
From what?
Road tripping, man.
I said that's about an 8-hour road trip. That ain't no road trip.
Side. Sometimes you got to send a message.
Well, we'll see.
Anyway, I got a few questions anyway about things, but I know that you said you want to get your dad
on. Yeah, let's get my dad in.
I'm curious to see. I don't know what he has to speak about tonight, but I'm curious to see what he feels as though about that Field of Dreams game.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I hope he does want to talk. I have one or two knocks on it, and then we'll see. But let's get my dad on and see what he's got to say.
Hello?
What's up, Pop?
What's up, Tom? How you doing? How you guys doing? Yeah, I came up with a name, I think, Around the League.
Oh, wow. That's nice. I like that. That's not bad at all. Around the League. That's not bad, Jeff.
Okay.
I'll put that right at the top of the list, Pops. Good one. Okay.
I thought the Field of Dreams game was, they try to make it going back in time, but then they came out with the on his shirt.
Oh yeah, that was my biggest pet peeve. That
you know,
biggest pet peeve.
And then them wearing watches. I wanted it to be more of an old time game.
Yeah.
With the old uniforms.
I thought they did a great job with a lot of that right up until I saw the swoosh, the Nike swoosh on the jersey, and I said, how could you have an old time jersey on and have a Nike swoosh on it, Jeff?
Yeah, it was nice. I thought, but
the money's got to be made, Tom.
Yeah.
How many years?
That's about it.
That
money's got to be made.
I mean, who's going to watch it? Let's say Cleveland's playing Minnesota. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get to see. You know.
To me, this is not. This should not be a long term thing because, yeah, I think it runs its course quick. Next year is pretty interesting. I think it's Cubs red. So I think that's not bad. But yeah, I had a hard time with the Nike logo. But I will tell you one thing I enjoyed. Jeff, did you see any of the highlights from the game or anything?
No, I watched the beginning when the players came out.
That was cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that was actually very cool. Dad, you know what? Yeah.
Can't watch baseball, man. I just,
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Dad, you know what, the one thing I did enjoy? Watching the home runs into the cornfield. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was very nice. It was a good, no, don't get me wrong, 75% of it I thought was good. It's just commercialized. You know, you wanted to see something, you know, the way they, you know, the old ball players, the uniforms they wore, how they wore them, the gloves, even the gloves that they used back then were nowhere near the gloves they had today.
Yeah.
And it was, but I enjoyed it. I really do. I don't know how long it's going to be able to keep that. You'd have to have the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, you know, some of those big teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think you can't go out there and have, you know, Milwaukee Brewers and Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't think anybody's caring about that as a field of dreams. Yeah, I mean, there was a few things that had negative with it. You know, one, the uniforms. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see Nike swooshes, Jeff. I did, Jeff, you're right. I think the opening with Cosner coming out, holding the ball, and then the stopping and the players coming through the cornfield, I thought that was a great touch.
He reenacted that scene. Is that why he did that?
I don't think that was ever really a scene like that. He never came out of the cornfield. I questioned it and why he didn't go to the diamond and throw out the first pitch. I think they lost it on that a little bit. That he should have thrown out the first pitch to the guy who played his father in the movie. He should have had the guy who played his father in the movie at the home plate in the uniform and then took the mask off and then threw the first pitch to him. That would have been a great touch. But I thought when the players came out,
it
was pretty
good. Kevin Costner's career has been over for 25 years.
You know, I have to know that he...
You know, like, do half the people even know who he was?
I don't know. I think he's still a big guy, Dad, don't you think? I think he's still got a name.
Yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't put him in with Clark Gable or Jimmy Cagney or something. But, no, he's very good. And I think he's still, especially for the Field of Dreams. You know, I think some people might not know him, but I think the average
I also
person,
think they should have played the movie before the game. Like, they should have led into the game with Field of Dreams. They should have played it.
Hey, you couldn't. Yeah, but it was on TV all the time. I mean, you couldn't change the channel without the Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams is a great movie. I mean, it's not one of those movies I can watch every month, but, you know, when it's on. But, you know, you think about it, it's all based on that. To me, it would have been a great touch.
No, but could you imagine sitting outside of a cornfield and watching a two-hour movie and then sitting through a baseball game?
Well, I'm not saying the people. No, I'm not talking about the people in the stands. I'm talking about home on TV, you know, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, play the movie, and then into the pregame and then into the thing. I think it would have been a fun touch for Fox to play Field of Dreams. And by the way, the night before the game, they had a big drive-in movie theater thing, and they had people came, and I think they had 5,000 people sitting in the cornfields and on the field watching the movie. So with Kevin Costner and some of the people that were in it. So I thought that was a pretty good touch. But, yeah, I think,
he could have had something like that. Plus he also could have had where in between the game, I mean, not the game, the movie, he could, because a lot of things were very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he never really came out of the cornfield. Now,
correct.
Shoeless Joe, the movie basically was on Shoeless Joe Jackson. That's who it was supposed to be. But they played more on it for his father.
Well, that was the idea of the movie really was that he was building a field to bring his father's idol back to make up for a comment that he had made before his father died. So the movie really wasn't supposed to be about Shoeless Joe. It was supposed to be that he was trying to recreate something so that he could have it, so his father would come back. Not, he didn't know that. But so his father would come back, and he'd have the ability to make up with his father. And it was about, you know, all that kind of thing. But Shoeless Joe was his father's favorite player, so that was the guy that everybody structured it around. But it really wasn't. Eight Men Out was more of a White Sox Shoeless Joe movie. But,
yeah,
but,
that was, yeah.
Yeah, a good movie and a great idea
Jeff,
by baseball.
Yeah.
Huh?
And Jeff, name it. I've seen him play in person. I remember when he came up, he got the bonus. He was, I grant you, at that time, he was the greatest quarterback in both leagues. Only because, not of his football ability, not that he was a terrible quarterback. He was a very good quarterback. His problem was he was bought in for publicity. He was bought in to help the New York Jets, help the AFL get recognition. They wanted a playboy type guy. Not that he was a bad quarterback, but, I mean, there were a lot of that AFL had some quarterbacks. And Namath, when he won the Super Bowl, let me tell you, he had the, and I defy anybody to tell me any better, if not the top five, they're in there. Sauer and Maynard, two best receivers around. Mm. And the same with the running backs, Snell, mm-hmm. Boozer. They had a great team. And he was there, and he played the part. He was a woman's, all the girls loved him. He was around with everybody. Every time he picked up the newspaper or looked in there, there was Joe Namath. That's what the owners wanted. That's why, if you talk to a lot of AFL players, the old ones, they hated him with a passion, especially Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland hated him. Ben Davidson broke his jaw in one of the games on purpose. He always said he was. He was a good, he was a very, very good quarterback. Greatest? Nah, I would put him not even, I'd be honest with you, not even the top 10.
Okay, there you go.
That's only me.
Well, listen, I got it, but listen, it's not to knock Joe Namath. I just, saw it online today, and somebody had put the most overrated quarterback ever was John Elway, and I said, I'm not the biggest Elway fan, but John Elway was certainly not an overrated quarterback. And I thought, well, who would be the guy? And to me, it's Namath.
Well, you know, if you look at it, you know, you can sit here and take all the quarterbacks that ever played and rate them. But you can't because they played to what they had. I mean, Bart Starr, you would never say was one of the greatest quarterbacks, but yet he won, what, 5-6 championships
mm-hmm.
because he knew how to use what he had.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything great. He had good running backs. He had good
mm-hmm.
receivers, but nothing great. Same with a lot of you talking about Frank Tarkenton. Frank
mm-hmm.
Tarkenton, the joke was he could snap the ball, you could get up, go make a sandwich, come back in, and he'd still be running around the field.
Mm-hmm.
If he got paid by the mile, he would have been a multimillionaire, Tarkenton.
Yeah.
But really, if you look at any of the old films of him, that's where he was. He was one of the first few that I ever saw. That he snapped the ball, and next thing you know, they were on top of him, and he was running all over the place.
Yeah, no, listen, a good quarterback, a great quarterback, and a Hall of Famer. And Frank, don't take it personal. I'm not the biggest Elway fan, but I certainly don't think Elway was an overrated quarterback. I think he was a great one. Who just didn't have a great team built around him early on, and when he got a better team, he wasn't a great quarterback.
If you play in the NFL, Tommy, if you play in the NFL, you play in Major League Baseball, you're good. You have to be good. You may not
absolutely.
Be great, but you have to be because there's so many mm-hmm. guys that don't make it here.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you, Bob.
Let you go. All right, Jeff, take care, buddy. Nice talking to you.
Be good, Mr. Florio.
All right, you too.
Thanks,
enjoy
Pops.
Yourself. Tommy, I'll talk to you over the weekend.
You got it, Pops. I'll see you over the weekend.
All right, take care.
All right, that's my dad. He checks in every week, and he definitely brings a different perspective. Again, we're not knocking Joe Namath, and we're not knocking a lot of guys. We're just I put him as an overrated player. But, Jeff, you said you had some questions or you had some thoughts on the Field of Dreams. Did you get them all in? Did we move on, or you got some more stuff you want to bring up on that one?
I mean, we could talk about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Let me ask you something. Last week, you said that you wouldn't mind watching it again and seeing that as a yearly thing.
Yeah.
And then you brought up a good point about what teams would be able to play in it.
Right.
You know, like, you're right. I agree with you. You can't have, like, the Colorado Rockies versus the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have the same feeling to it.
Correct.
Is it wrong to regulate it between certain teams? Like, you know, maybe the Yankees and the Pirates one year, or the Cubs and the White Sox, or, you know, the Braves and the Indians. Then again, it's not the Braves and the Indians, Indians anymore, is it?
Well, it's not the Indians anymore. The Braves are still the Braves. The Indians have now changed to the Guardians, I think
the
it is.
Guardians.
But, you know, a game like that needs a team with history. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking like, early history, long history. So, yeah, Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox, Dodgers, you know, teams that go back to the 40s and 50s, you can throw on the old uniforms. You know,
That's before the 40s, bro. Now you're talking their turn of the century.
Yeah. I think that's where it works.
They maybe went out in the field before they went and played.
Yeah, I think.
Thank
you. No, George, I think it has to be where. No, I think the idea of it has to be that you're watching, you know, the Babe Ruth era, or you're watching the Ted Williams era. That there has to be that history. Like, I just don't have that warm and fuzzy on the. You know, and again, I'm not knocking the Brewers, or I'm not knocking the Rockies, the Marlins, the Rays. They just don't have that kind of history. So to me, I'm watching
that
game,
that it should be. Right now, if you were to make that team, right, that real quick, I'd say the Pirates, Phillies, Braves, Brewers, possibly. I don't know how old the Brewers are, but weren't they an older team?
Not really. Brewers came about in the 70s. I'm thinking early 70s.
Okay.
The Royals,
they got to be out.
Yeah, it has to be teams prior to, like, the 50s.
I would say teams that were beginning. The Tigers.
Yeah,
too, I agree.
I agree with that. That's a good one. Yeah, I think that's a good one.
The Yankees, the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
I know these are an old-fashioned team. The A's.
See, the problem.
Been there for a while.
Yeah, the problem with the A's. Different. They were Kansas City A's back in the 50s. You could get away with stuff like that, but it has to be a team with some sort of history. Like you said, Jeff, you got to go back to near the turn of the century or shortly after. Other than that, it, to me, it doesn't make the bite. You know, I don't want to see the Kansas City Royals. They're a 1960s, 70s team.
I hear you.
Yeah. You have to have a little history. But, you know, yes, the Brewers were the Braves, the Boston Braves, and then they went out to Milwaukee. They moved them out there. Yeah, so it's a nice idea. I think, Jeff, unlike the hockey. See, the hockey is just an outdoor sport. It's not really an old-time thing. It's just an outdoor event. The baseball is to me, an old-time event. And they need to have established old-time teams to make it worthwhile. Yeah, I think you brought the Pirates. I think the Pirates would be a lot of fun to see in a game like that. You know,
I think the Phillies were were always the Phillies, but I think the A's played in Philadelphia for a while too. Isn't that what Connie Mack had them?
You know, it's a good point. I think you're right on that. Yes, I think you're 100% right. You're right on the money tonight, I think. Yeah, nice.
I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right.
Had them over there. And maybe the Giants, too. The New York Giants.
Absolutely. The Giants would be a great one. Absolutely. I think that would be another good one to have out there. The Dodgers go back that deep. So, yeah,
I don't know if the Dodgers went back that deep, Tom. The Dodgers may not have been in the league until the 30s or 40s, but that's something that would have to be more back towards the turn of the century when, like, Hans Wagner and Ty Cobb were playing. Then that game would mean something.
I won't argue that. You can get away with this, I think, for 3 or 4 years, putting some old, the Reds and the Cubs is a good one. You know, that goes back to
Reds. That's another team.
Yeah, so, I mean, you
been a while.
Yep, Patrick confirmed that. Yeah, the Philadelphia A's, Jeff, you're right on the money.
Oh,
good job.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's some value to that game, but you can't just put any two teams in it because then it doesn't have the same luster that watching those teams.
Well, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. In today's crowd, today's baseball fan, are they even going to realize the significance of having two old-time teams? Like, let's say that you had the Oakland A's come out as the Philadelphia A's, right? And maybe have them play the St. Louis, I believe it's St. Louis Browns.
Sure. Before the Cardinals, it was the Browns.
Before they were the Cardinals, they were the Browns. Mm-hmm. And have the game go as that. Is anybody even going to know that?
That's a great question, but I think it's a great way to educate people, Jeff. I think it's a great way for the kids to hear St. Louis Browns. Yeah, before the Cardinals, they were the Browns. And I think that's... where baseball does it better than anybody else, I think that having that event and doing that is what this is all about. You know, yeah, Frankie's right. You know, the Twins were the Senators. The Twins were the Senators before that. The Senators became the Twins, and then they came back now as the Nationals. So I think they went to Montreal at some point. Somebody went to Montreal. You know, you can do those kind of things.
Expos were just a I don't think they were a relocated team. I think they were a new team.
I think you're right.
Expansion team.
I think you're right. So I think,
the Senators became somebody. I think
the Senators became the Twins.
Yeah?
Yes. The Senators became the Twins. Yep.
Because I know somebody said about, where was it? I think it was Patrick. The Brewers were the Seattle Pilots.
In Europe,
I remember that. No, they didn't. And was there a team, the Colt 45s?
Houston. The Houston, before they were the Astros, they were the Houston Colt 45s, yes.
Okay.
So.
Because I remember seeing, I think Rusty Staub played for
them. I believe you're right, yes. 45. I believe you're right, yeah. So, yeah, again, great.
These are teams that must have lasted like one or two seasons.
Probably.
These names.
There you go. Senators became the Texas Rangers. That's right. Good job. Good job, Patrick. He's right. So, so again, to me, I think that's another great way to put it is that if you can, now the Cardinals go back a long ways, but if you could say next year the Cardinals are going to play the Tigers. That's a good rivalry. But they're going to play it as the St. Louis Browns. What do you mean the St. Louis Browns? Well, before they were the Cardinals, they were the St. Louis Browns. I think that would be fun, and I think it's a good way to keep the history alive, and for for the younger fans to learn a little bit, and dig in and go Google the St. Louis Browns and the guys that they played that played there. So to me, they'll learn about Pepper Martin and those kind of guys. I mean that would be a lot of fun. So to answer your question,
I wouldn't mind seeing it because baseball still holds on to its roots.
Yep.
Hockey does too.
I would agree.
More so baseball and hockey than football, because nothing happened in football until the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Whatever happened before the Super Bowl is just erased.
And even more so, I think you're starting to lose the 70s in the football world. I think it's starting to get to a point where football only came around in the 90s, because you watch all these NFL networks and ESPN Classics, whatever's left. And you very rarely see anything before the 1990s.
You know, what NFL should do is partner up, which they already have.
Uh-huh.
Hear me out, please.
Sure.
Should partner up with Madden.
Okay.
And the reason I say this is because if you want to get people back into once was,
mm-hmm.
What you need to do is get it on a video game. You need to put the powerhouse teams of the 70s, the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Jets and the Packers.
Uh-huh.
You need to put these teams in a special mode on Madden.
I think they have that, Jeff. I haven't played in a long time.
I don't know about that, Tom, but make it that you could play, make it like the Super Bowl, and you could play each one of those Super Bowls. But, I don't know how you would have to do it, but make it a feature that you unlock it.
Yeah.
Make it interesting to somebody, because then you would get to learn some of these other players.
I agree.
Get to develop these other players. You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
If you want to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe you win a season, 74 Steelers, you win a season.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to unlock those players and use them in modern day if you want or something. I don't know. But do something. Then kids will pay attention to it, and it won't be as lost.
No, I think it's a great idea. I do think that there is some of that. I know I've played some of that. I think the one thing they didn't have when I did play it was they had the players' numbers, but they didn't have the names attributed to it, I think. But it's been a while since I played Madden. It's been a number of years since I played any of the newer Madden. So it's possible it's already there, but either way, it's a great idea. Get Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom here on a Thursday night. I got the Yankee game up on the screen, no score early, but playing great ball. We'll talk about the Mets. The fans out there, did Steve Cohen inspire that? I have a hard time buying the inspiration of, nine innings, one or two hits, being an inspiration for a team being tested. Jeff, do you have anything else on that, on the Field of Dreams before you move on?
Nah, I think we covered.
Okay.
Covered it.
I wanted to bring up, I was just bringing up the Mets, and their owner was on Twitter the other night. Not too bad, just, unproductive hitter, professional hitter should be productive type of thing. And it was definitely a little out of his team. They haven't played real well. They haven't hit well at all. And I was wondering, like, you know, first of all, you know, they wound up winning the game the next day, but they were losing 1-0 in the ninth, barely hitting. They scored a few runs on a 3-run homer, you know, and people said, well, oh, his dig at the Jets was the motivation for the, and I'm like, motivation? They had one hit in 9 innings, two hits in 9 innings. What are we talking about motivation? The Giants pitched 9 pitchers before they got to somebody knocked them around. I wondered one thing though: what would George Steinbrenner have been like, Jeff, in 1970s and 80s with the use of Twitter?
Man, I don't know, dude. That is quite the question. I'm sure that he definitely would have gotten his point across.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Like, he used the newspaper better than anybody I ever saw in my life to get his point across. And I think if that guy had Twitter, he would have been roasting everybody every minute of every day. So
yeah, I agree with that, because when he had the newspapers back in the
70s, oh,
you know, they were hinged on every word he said. You didn't know what he was going to say and who he was going to fight with next. So then you had to pay attention to him.
Oh,
I'm just going to drop the next bomb and on who?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and Patrick, I agree with you. I think it's time for a change over there. I don't know. I'm not big on firing managers, and people were screaming for Aaron Boone's head early on, and a couple of trades, and it turned that team around. As Andrew Velasquez, who I really love, this kid just hit a triple for the Yankees, leading off the third inning, I believe. But I don't think these guys get motivated off a tweet from their owner, Jeff. I just don't buy it. And if two hits in 9 innings is motivation, boy, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I would have a tendency to agree with you on that one, man. That's not good.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But you know, I give the Mets. I don't give them any credit. You know, they have not played well. I believe they've lost to Grom for the season. So that's a big blow. You know, they're just not hitting the ball. You can give me a lot of stuff on the Mets. You're not going to win baseball games the way they've been trying to. And, they have a tough road ahead. I think they're 4.5 games out now. They're no shot at a wild card. So I think
they don't have a shot at the wild
card. No, that wild card is so far ahead. Whoever wins that division is the only team with a chance. I mean, unless you go on a big run. I mean, the Yankees have done it, so anything's possible, but. The way that division is playing and the way the Mets are playing, I would not give it to them. But, this is a very interesting offseason for them, Jeff, in the sense that they've got a relatively young team, but a lot of guys are about to get paid. Conforto's about to get paid. You know, Syndergaard's going to get paid in the offseason. And are they going to spend the money on these guys who have not done well? You know, I think right now, if I were the Mets, it would be almost time for a clean sweep. And you keep a couple of those guys and build around it, and let Cohen spend his money, Jeff. It's time for a sweep there.
Yeah, I hear you.
So yeah, I mean, the Jets have the Mets have a tough week. They're on their way out to California. They're going to be playing, I think it's 4 against the Dodgers, and then they come home and play the Giants again. 13 tough games against two of the best teams in baseball right now. The Mets are fighting for their life. They have to come out of this thing and still be close. Yeah, this could get away from them, and they could be 8 games out by the time everything's said and done. And a big base hit by Higashioka. Yankees on the board 1-0. They're right now the anti-Yankees. And, again, I'm not thrilled with the Yankees, Jeff. There's a lot wrong with this team still. I still want to see them hit in a big spot. Their bullpen has not been good. They get nothing out of certain positions. I like the way this team's playing right now much, much better. Yes, Patrick, they should have got Chris Bryant 100%. That was the guy to get. But, you know, to be honest with them, be fair, nobody could have known that Chris Bryant was going to play this well. So I won't beat them up on it. But why does everybody wind up on the DL? Why does everybody for the Jets? They can't get anybody back in short time. It's been the biggest mystery. And now DeGrom has been – there's nothing wrong. He's out for the rest of the season. Never understand it with the Jets.
What happened with DeGrom?
I didn't hear. I was going on the air and I saw it, but they said DeGrom is done for the season. He's had some elbow or forearm soreness, but they've never come out and said what was wrong with him.
What happens if this team does make the playoffs? That's it. He's done.
Well, I guess it's not a question of he can't play. I think it's a matter of he's physically not able to play. So
wow.
Yeah. So I think he's physically not able to play. That's what I read today, what I saw on the news. I didn't get you. I got home really late from work, so I didn't get a chance to really see it. But you know, it is what it is. For the Mets, they're not relevant in that division at this point. They're going to jump two teams, and they're not playing well, and nothing's worked out. And I think Cohen's going to be very. I think Cohen's going to be very quick on the trigger this offseason to rebuild this team. I think he gave him a chance. He brought in Lindor, who's done nothing and has been out for a while with an oblique strain. Jim, I don't remember. Growing up, do you ever remember anybody in professional baseball being out with an oblique strain?
What's an oblique?
Exactly.
I guess so, yeah.
And these guys go out, and it's like he's been out. It's got to be close to a month he's out now. And there's been very little chatter about him getting back. I think he's getting close, but, you know, I think that it's just, you know, it's so weird for the Mets. They just can never seem to have a simple injury where a guy's out 10 days and he's back.
Oh, if the oblique is where we think it is over here, so I think it's over here.
I believe so.
Then just the thought of you know, throwing the ball that's got to hurt him and then the bat, it's got to be painful.
I got it, but I don't remember any. I don't remember ever hearing Mickey Rivers was out for 10 days with an oblique strain. You know, I don't think Greg Nettles.
Mickey Rivers was a hammy.
I'm just,
you know,
yeah.
From running around and everything. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys, they work out more than those guys did back then.
They're just too tight? Their muscles are too tight?
It is possible.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory, Jeff. I just don't get it. But, listen, you know, the Mets are in big trouble. They have a tough rest of the week, and we'll see how they come out of it. And the Yankees. Four games with Minnesota, they can pad this up a little bit. And, you know, they've jumped everybody there right now in the number one wild card spot and playing well. They hopefully get Kluber back. And, you know, the Yankees may be healthy heading into September. So we'll keep you guys updated on that. But I do want to talk a little football at this moment, Jeff. You all right if I move on to football?
Yeah, just give me 1 second, Tom. I got to pull on the fan and the air conditioner.
Sure, go ahead, bro.
Get a little warm here. I'll be right there. It's right over here.
Yeah, Jeff and Tom here hanging out here on a Thursday night. Guys, remember Chasm Sultan? That's right, the Chasm Sultan, bass player to the stars, many bands. We'll join Jeff and I on September 2nd. Of course, remember that we will be on SportsWire on a weekly basis. I'm not sure exactly when, but thanks to Tom Bryce, we'll have a little and a formal announcement on the dates and the times that you can hear the show rebroadcast on SportsWire. So thanks to everybody over there for bringing Jeff and I over. And September 12th, we'll be doing our show live on Sunday mornings. Hopefully Jeff will get to be able to hop in as much as possible with his job. I don't want to get him in trouble, but it's not the same without him. And then, of course, the one and only John Marhefka will join me as well. And we'll either have a three-headed monster or John will fill in for Jeff when he's not available. So again, looking forward to. Yes, we're going to name the show. We haven't done it yet. Jeff and I are looking for names. My dad's around the league is not bad. I like it a lot. Sports Rap ain't bad. And John had a bunch today, so we'll definitely talk a little bit more of that. Hopefully, Jeff will come up with something. Jeff, if you people don't know, Jeff comes up with a lot of the segments on the show. He's the man when it comes to stuff like this. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of name Jeff can come up with for the show on Sundays. And but, of course, we'll be here every Thursday night doing our thing, having some fun and talking sports and music. I got a few music topics, but I want to get over to the Jets. And, you know, Jeff, I don't know how much you watched over the weekend, but the one thing, the one big thing coming out of training camp has been, you know, obviously there's some questions. Is Becton healthy? And what's his weight? What are we going to get? What are you going to get out of Zach Wilson? Blah, blah, blah. But the one thing that everybody was raving about was Carl Lawson, Jeff, and how well that Lawson was playing.
No more.
That's a big blow for a team, Jeff. I don't think they'll be demoralized, you know, new coaching staff and all that. But he was the one legit player on that team that you just said, boy, he's going to make them better. And now that that's out, that's tough. It's almost like losing Mosley 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Well, at least they got Mosley to play half a game at the very least, so you knew what you had, what we're going to get.
Right.
This guy here, you know, I mean, listen, the only thing I can say is he popped it early.
Yeah.
All right, so this year, if they choose to have him back next year, because you never know what happens in the NFL, but if he's going to play next year and he plays for the Jets, hopefully he'll be ready to go by the time training camp starts. So You know, it takes a while to rehab that injury, but he should have plenty of time to be good to go for camp next year. And it's a shame, man. He looked like he was ready to go, and he was happy about getting there.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
What's your thoughts on the joint practices? Do you know that they're out there, they're playing with the Green Bay Packers, so they're going live against the Packers. They're not letting them hit quarterbacks. And I guess they're controlling the intensity of it, Jeff. But I was a little mixed on it. It doesn't always work well. It doesn't always happen every year. But the Jets are out there doing two days of practice before they play Green Bay Saturday night. What's your thoughts on teams holding joint practices instead of constantly playing against each other in practice? What's your thought?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all because – especially since they have a game coming up,
mm-hmm.
you know, one guy hits the other one a little too hard and somebody's going to get a little overzealous. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It is the preseason, and I just don't see a reason for to have a game practice like this. I just don't like the idea of it, man.
Well, let me be a little bit of a devil's advocate because I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't know if I like it either, but let me play the devil's advocate. So you've been practicing for, I don't know, 3 weeks, you know, almost a month now. Everybody knows everybody's plays. They know what's coming. Don't you think that getting a little controlled element in the practice, running these plays against guys who don't know what's coming, against guys who don't recognize the little things that you do, don't you think that kind of gives you a little – I mean, I think it's a big thing. I mean, the Jets offensive line has taken a beat in the last in these practices. I think it's a little telling. I think it gives you a good indication of where you're at. Don't you think from that standpoint, maybe it's a good thing?
Yes and no. I don't think that you need to know in the middle of August that your team's offensive line is bad heading into September in the first game. There's some things that maybe you don't want to know this early in the year because there's not much that you're going to be able to do about it at this point in time to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I don't like it. Because you just don't know if people are going to get hurt. But people can get hurt in non-contact injuries.
Absolutely, and, Jeff. Yeah.
You know, so you can't use tennis as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I just don't think it's good. Because like I said, one, you piss off another guy and maybe he remembers it. And now you're going to practice against him for 2 days and then you're going to play him on the third. So now he's got plenty of time. Maybe all he's going to do is go through the face mask and sorry, I didn't mean to poke you in the eye. You don't know what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, if something is, you can't even say, you know, they played the Packers two or three days in a row, two practices in a game, and they found out their offensive line is suspect. Well, maybe the Packers have a monster defensive line this year, and there's nothing that the Jets can do against it. That's all there is to it. They're just overmatched. So, you know, I don't know if I like it, and you want to really use it to gauge where your team stands. If that's where your team stands against that one particular team. But now maybe they're going to come and play the Bengals and totally dominate the Bengals across the board. You know, you just don't know. And, you know, it is what it is, but I'm not a fan of it.
Okay. I see. I think there's a usefulness in it in the sense that obviously this year we know we only have the three preseason games. So I think it gives them a little more time to evaluate the team, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. To be honest with you, I think it teams should be working on their fundamentals more than scrimmaging other teams. But again, it could break up the monotony. I'm not a huge fan of it. I'm not against it, but I think it's an interesting topic. And then you go to play, and listen. It's week two, Jeff. I mean, I watched a good part of the Giant-Jet game. I didn't learn anything. To be honest with you, in game one, I didn't learn a blessed thing. I don't know who's going to be good, who's not. The Giants played basically the bottom of the roster just to kind of get guys some time and see them before they make the cuts. I thought the Jets looked okay. There were some good signs for the Jets. But, you know, I think this is a big week. I think most teams will probably go full board this week. Would you think that the Jets – being it's week two, you know, maybe you want to ease back on the last game, or do you think it's easy this week and big time on the third game
for the Jets?
Yeah, I think in general, Jeff.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you got to remember, Tom, it's a 17-game season.
Right.
Right.
You're talking about going all out in the middle of August. You know, is it too – I think it's way too early for that. You know, listen, I understand, like I just said 2 seconds ago, you know, a non-contact injury could happen. The guy could be standing there minding his own business, mm-hmm. and his knee falls off like a house of cards. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if it was my team, I don't know if I would want to push them that fast at that point in time. But, you know, I would rather take the extra game during the season and
yeah, but then you're giving up a game, though. At that point, you're giving up a game.
Says you're giving up a game, Tom, because every team is going to be on the same level at this point in time because you're not playing four preseason games. You know, so every team has only played three preseason games, and most of them are going to follow the same formula. We got these guys in for two series. Defensive guys are going to be in for two series, except their quarterbacks. I need to see them. They're going to be in for four series, and then the third and fourth stringers are going in. So, you know, there's a lot going on. But, you know, you have to be careful. You just have to be diligent and hope that you guys are in good shape and that they'll be able to shake off any minor injuries and then they're not lingering ones. The guy on the Jets today with he popped his hamstring, not his hamstring, his Achilles.
Yes.
Unfortunate, no doubt, but we've seen it happen a thousand times.
Yeah, I don't want my team to sit guys to protect them because I don't think it helps them. So I think you gotta go out there and you gotta play the game, and if you get hurt, you get hurt. And that's part of the game. And I don't want Carl Lawson to be lost for the season, but you know, to me, if he got lost today or in Saturday night's game or getting out of his car and hopping a curb, you know, I mean, to me, I agree with Frankie. You can't baby the players. Go out there and play the game.
Well, you know what? It's the union that negotiated.
Sure.
That for them.
Absolutely.
You know what
yes.
I mean? It's not that – I don't know if the players wanted it, but, you know, the owners, they're always thinking of ways to get money. That's why we're in a 17-game season.
Sure, absolutely. That's...
You just took 17 games and put it over 18, 19 weeks, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, me personally, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't like it. I'm not – it's not for me.
But the 18 games or the joint practices?
17 games. The joint practices, I'm not a fan of them.
I think the 17 games nobody's even going to pay attention to. And what I mean by that is once the season starts, you're going to look forward to every game. If your team's playing well, I don't think anybody's going to care anymore if there's 16 games or 17 games. I think the one thing we touched base with you and I did during the week on records. Now, again, the records really matter at the end of the day? Probably not. But I think it becomes interesting now with the extra game. You know, you brought it up. Do you get a 6,000-yard quarterback? Do you get, you know, a guy running for 2,000 yards every year now? You know, what you know, do you get 30 sacks in a season or 25 sacks in a season? You know, I think the 17 games screws up things. Yes, I know, Jeff, you're going to tell me there used to be 14 games and they went to 16 games. But that was in the 70s, you know, where you know, I think it's a bigger difference today. But I think once the season starts, nobody's going to care if there's 16 games or 17 games.
Well, I think so because, you know what, Tom, just think about it. 17 games over the course of 18 weeks.
Yep.
Okay. If you don't think that game 18 ain't coming soon.
Oh, I agree with that. Yes, I think I would agree with that. Yes, I think you're going to have 18.
It's going to come.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with you. There's no way in the world they're going to stop at 17. They're going to make it two preseason games and 18 regular season games for sure.
Well, listen, you hope that that's – if they do it, that's maybe what they're going to do.
No
but
doubt.
They may need those three preseason games just for roster cuts and everything else. They may not be able to do
it. No, I think what you're going to – yes, Patrick, I think that's where this is always going to head. They want the last game of the season. They want the Super Bowl on President's Weekend. Listen, everybody watches Super Bowl. It's the biggest event. You know, it should be a national holiday. But think about how much bigger it would be if most people had the next day off. So,
I think enough people take the day off because they can't move anyway after that.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing, but I think when you're naturally given a day off, I think people will be going away. More people will travel to the game. I think you'll get more people hanging out, bigger parties. I don't think it's a dumb idea. I've always said I thought the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday because, God, the whole country watches the Super Bowl. So I think that's where it's headed. Will it get to the 18 game? I do, but I think they'd have a hard time with the 18 game if it goes past President's Weekend, and they usually don't start on Labor Day. They'd have to almost start Labor Day weekend, which I don't think they'll do.
Listen, all they got to do is move everything up a week. They don't have to move it back a week. They got to move everything up a week.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. I got it. But yeah, I think 18 games is in the future, and I think it's going to be two preseason games. You may see more joint practices. They may do less of the preseason games and do more joint practices.
Let me ask you something. I see this guy, Frank Catalano.
Yeah.
Do you know, have any way to get in touch with him?
You're talking to him right now.
Well, I mean, other than that, I mean, have family members. Can you get in touch with any family members?
Of Frank's?
Yes.
I don't think so. Why?
I think you should look into it. I think maybe he has the gas on in his house or something. This guy's a Bronco fan, isn't he?
Yes. Frankie's a Bronco fan.
I mean, come on. You don't even have a fucking quarterback, man. What is this guy talking about?
Frankie,
these teams have quarterbacks, bro. What the fuck?
I think that they are an enigma. I don't know what to make of the Broncos this year. I want to give them more juice this year, but I just can't because I haven't bought into Drew Luck yet, and I don't know if Bridgewater's going to be the guy. I just haven't bought in, Frankie. I'm not knocking it.
Last time I heard Drew Luck outplayed Bridgewater at a practice or a preseason game, we don't need one. You don't have one, I don't think.
But yeah, I think that's a team that I haven't figured out yet, and I need to figure out the Broncos. I do because I think that division, I just don't see Kansas City getting to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. I just don't see it. But I don't know if there's enough if there's enough in that division. I think the Chargers might still be a year or so away. I don't believe in the Raiders. I don't know if you do. I don't believe in the Raiders.
But I think, you know what? Let me ask you this. Right now, AFC.
Yeah.
Who other than the Chiefs are Super Bowl bound?
Bills?
Maybe. Are you going to say the Bills?
Yes.
Yeah, possibly.
Yep.
I don't know about the Titans. I wouldn't say the Titans.
Titans got better, but did they get tremendously better
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones. I don't know. Julio Jones was with Ridley and that whole team, he didn't make them a better team. So why am I believing that, you know, they're going to go over there? I'm not a big, yes, you will, Frankie, yes, you will. Cleveland is an enigma. Until they do it, I don't believe it. They should be there yet. But they still got to prove that they're better than Pittsburgh. And I'm not sure they're there yet. You know, they were 11-5 last year, no doubt. But I would put them up there. I think Tennessee will make a little bit of a run in that division. And the Browns and the Bills. I think my number one to unseat them is going to be Buffalo. I think Buffalo's gotten better and better. And I think Buffalo is probably going to be the team to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl this year, if you ask me.
I don't know, man.
I haven't made the picks yet, but I'm telling you, I'm leaning that way. I don't believe in Pittsburgh. I don't believe in Baltimore.
I can see why you don't believe in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I can see why you don't believe in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand why you do see it with Buffalo.
Yep.
It's just a natural progression of things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
It's not happening with the Raiders.
No.
I do think that you may see it with the Browns. They may take a step,
yep.
But until they get knocked out and they say that the game is over and the Chiefs are out, I can't discount them. I just can't discount them.
I agree with you, but I just think that it's very difficult to do what they're, you know, they won a Super Bowl, they get back, they lose, and until somebody does it, nobody who's lost a Super Bowl has been able to repeat and come back.
Other than the last team to go to the Super Bowl for more than 2 years in a row was the Buffalo Bills when they did 4 years in a row back in the late 80s, early 90s,
yep.
Or mid-80s,
yep.
To late 80s?
It was 91, 92, 93, 94, that type of thing. They were the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it was – you got to look that up.
No, they lost to the Giants in 90, the 90 season, 91 Super Bowl. And they went four straight years.
That lucky game for them.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Guys, if somebody,
somebody
could
open up the fucking...
Somebody call Sharon. I think Jeff's air conditioner is kicking in carbon monoxide. I think he's got carbon monoxide over there. Frankie, your team is an enigma to me. I keep promising myself, one, because we're playing you guys, but I need to learn more because that division, I think, might – well, I think the Chiefs are still the best team there easily, Jeff. I still think that there's somebody could come out of that division as a wild card. I don't like a lot of other teams this year. I have to be honest with you. The AFC East is another enigma. I don't know what to expect out of the AFC the East this year. I mean, we know that Buffalo should be good. Is Miami taking another step forward? What happens with the Patriots if they're as good as they used to be? Where are the Jets and all of that? I think the AFC East is a very the AFC in general, I think, is an enigma this year.
I don't know. We're going to see. I think it's going to be a little – you're going to start to see other teams come to the front of the pack and other teams fall back. Like, I see Pittsburgh falling back.
Yes.
I see a team that I'm up to see. I could give you three. You ready?
Yeah.
Washington, Dallas, Philly.
This is why nobody takes you seriously. This is no why. This is why.
I don't care what any of these people say. I'm telling you, as one of the NFL analysts on this show,
you're the only one.
Washington, Philly, and Dallas.
You got to be kidding me. First off, your boy Dak Prescott can't even get on the field to throw a pass. You're going to put Fitz Tragic. Out there, you're telling me that you believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yes, I do.
You are a joke. And
playoff bound.
We'll get a couple of weeks. We'll get to what we really think and make some picks.
I'll tell you what it is. You run from the truth, man.
I'll run from the truth.
You've been ducking the truth for years. Stand up and say that your team sucks.
My team is great.
They don't have anything.
My team is going to be great this year.
Please.
My team is great this year. 10 wins, no doubt in my mind. 10 wins this year for the Giants. 10. Starting with opening day. Booyah! Booyah, Frankie!
No.
Yes.
Me and Stephen A. each have the Giants going like 5-12.
Stephen A., first off, is a degenerate Cowboy fan. Why would I even listen to what Stephen A. has to say?
Because Dak, baby.
Dak can't even throw a football right now.
If you were to put the football in the living room,
and
you put Daniel Jones in the basement, he's still going to fucking give the ball away somehow. The guy just doesn't like to hold to the football. I don't understand why he wasn't a punter.
My man, Danny Dimes, is going to have a great year this year. I'm telling you. Saquon's back better than ever. We got Kadarius Toney, Galladay. This is a fearsome offense this year. But listen. In all honesty, Maris said it. Got to see improvement this year. I don't have to see playoffs. I got to see a better team.
Well, don't worry about it. You're not going to see the playoffs.
I think we're going to see the playoffs, if you ask me. But I will tell you this. Gettleman's got to see Daniel Jones play well, and that offensive line's got to be better. If that doesn't happen, he's not going to make the season. He will not be back next year. Regardless of the record, but I think their record. I think they win 10 games this year. I think the rest of the division is bad. I don't believe in the Cowboys. I think Washington can't score points, and I certainly don't think that the Eagles are any good. Although I did hear some rumors this week that the Eagles were trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. Did that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Why?
Because I guess you haven't been reading all the news. You're so blinded by the Giants, you can't see the print on the other pages.
What print do I want to see? That he's been that Deshaun Watson was interviewed by the FBI.
Well, the latest is that the FBI feels as though that there may be an extortion plot against Deshaun Watson.
Well, is that true?
So now, if and that's a big if.
That's a big if.
If that is true, that puts this whole thing in a different light. You know, but every minute that goes by. And that nothing like this is happening is bad for Deshaun Watson. That's more time that he's not playing. It doesn't seem as though that he's playing anywhere at this point in time.
No, he hasn't been. He hasn't been practicing. He's been showing up because he doesn't want to get fined, but he's not practicing. And listen, at some point, I mean, I don't know what, you know, I mean, is he allowed to practice? I mean, that's the part that I don't get. What is his status in the league? Is he eligible player? Could he practice if they want him to? Are the Texans not playing him for the reason of he's being investigated? Because let's be honest, he's not going to be spoken to or interviewed by the NFL till in February. So so either you're playing him or you're not playing him because you're not going to find anything out until February.
Well, listen, you got to figure the season starts in 2-3 weeks,
yep,
whatever it is.
Okay? 12th, yes, September 12th.
So then after that, it's 17 weeks to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. So he didn't play much.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he does choose to play, he's got to go through the motions. Second, if it takes him 8 weeks and then all of a sudden this is shown to be an extortion plot against him,
mm-hmm,
that means he's God knows how far behind, that he ain't going to be ready till like past the midway point of the season.
Okay.
And by then, who's going to want him?
Again, I think at this point, yeah, I just think that if you're Philly, are you making that trade? And I can't imagine the Texans getting anything for him. But let's say you're giving up a number. What would you give up, Jeff? You're the Eagles. What would you give up? A 5, a 4, a 3?
Fifth or sixth round pick. I would offer. Like you said, what are you going to give up?
Well, is it conditional on the fact that he's playing in the league next year, or he plays half a season this year? Then you say, well, if he plays 8 games this year, it's a number 2 pick. If he plays 5 games, you know, it's a number 3 pick. I mean, do you make it a conditional pick?
Well, maybe what you could do is to say, listen, I'll give you a fifth rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays and he's on the roster next year, I give you a third rounder.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's
I don't think that Texans really have much in the way of saying what they're going to get. You know, this isn't somebody that could go out and join the team tomorrow.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's the status. What is his status on the Texans have not said anything, nor has the league. Has anybody come out and said he's not playing? You know, I mean, he's got 22 people accusing him. He's not playing. I mean, the Dodgers came out and said before anything else happened, before any other investigations came out, the Dodgers said, based on this woman's account, we are not going to play Trevor Bauer. He's going to sit until this is figured out. Will the Houston Texans do the same? That's the question I ask.
Well, they're kind of doing the same right now. I mean, he's not playing, but nobody's saying anything either way.
Right.
If I was him, mm-hmm, and you don't mm-hmm want to play on the Texans, I wouldn't play.
Okay.
But at this point in time, it looks like pretty much like the season 2021 is in the books. You're done.
I would say, yeah. I mean, I don't see how he could come back and play this year. I think that's an interesting topic. The question is, if he came out tomorrow and says, okay, I'm coming to practice, I want to play, have they told him you're not going to practice, you're not going to play? I think that's a question I don't think has been answered by anybody.
I don't know.
Yeah, so again, but Frankie, I agree with you, and they're going to hold on to him until then. The problem is he won't get cleared in this until at least February because he's not being interviewed by the league until February. So that means he's sitting out this season if that's the case. And I don't disagree with it. I'm just saying is that you know, that's an odd thing for me. If I'm them, are you saying, okay, you might as well, if that's the case, you might as well tell them, stay home. We'll see you in March.
What's up, Will Cloaks?
Hey, Willie, how are you, buddy? Again, Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom talking some sports, some music. I got some music stuff coming up pretty quick right after this topic. I want to get back to the Jets and Giants a little bit. Big games. I say big games because it's preseason, but because there's only 3 and the Jets and Giants got a lot of things to talk, a lot of things to figure out, as do most people in the league. Jeff, when do you start picking up? I mean, do you watch any sort of the preseason? You know, I'll be over your house Saturday night. I might tell you, hey, Jeff, throw the game off for 5 minutes.
Well, TV is.
That's what I'm saying. But when do you get, is it opening day? Like opening day is when you'll finally.
Opening day, because there's just so much. Like I tried watching last night. I was laying in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the dog, we went to bed a little early. So we're watching Cleveland and Jacksonville.
Okay.
I didn't even know any of the people that were playing.
But isn't that the reason to watch it, to kind of see, that guy looks good, maybe he sticks around? Or so you don't pick up on, like,
maybe if I'm watching the Jets or the Giants, I really don't care about Cleveland and Jacksonville, who they have that's going to try to stick around.
Okay.
But, I understand what you're saying. It's like some of these guys, you just don't know who the fuck they even are.
No, I agree.
So it's like, why are you going to sit down and watch them attempt to make a football team? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, listen, I think it was 2009 or 10. There was a game, Jets and Giants, was week 3. And this young wide receiver had 3 touchdowns, had a great game. Never heard of the guy. And went on to have a pretty good career in Victor Cruz. So to me, watching those games, for me, I DVR'd a couple and watched them. I watched some highlights, and I always watch the Jets and Giant games. Gives me the opportunity to spot a couple guys and say, hey, I want to see. You know, I watched a little bit of the Chicago Bears played. I watched a little bit of that game with your boy Justin Fields playing quarterback. And I didn't like his mechanics, he had a pretty good game. Again, you're playing, he was the second guy out there, you're playing the Scrubinis. But, you know, to me, it's just a chance to catch up and watch out, see how some of these guys are playing, Jeff. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, like, look at the case of the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They went in there and they walked all over the Giants this week in preseason.
Well, they won 12-10 or 15-10. Are you telling me they walked over the Giants? Are you really going to say that?
They walked all over the Giants. All right? Embedded them into the ground.
Yeah, I got it. It was painful to watch. You're right. Go ahead.
It was.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You had your A team out there. The Giants go out there with the C team, and you barely won.
The Giants A team is their fucking C team.
Oh, please. It's just disgusting. Please. It's disgusting. You embarrass yourself. But no, I will watch each one of these games. I usually stay away from a lot of game 1 and a lot of game 4 because it's not big. I watch early, by the fourth quarter. But 2 and 3, I gotta watch this week, and the Giants and the Browns on Sunday. I'll watch the Jets a little bit on Saturday night when I pop by Jeff's house and they're playing the Green Bay Packers. I want to see how the offensive line does. I got a couple questions on the Jets. I mean, what's the offensive line gonna look like here? You know, I think that's been a big sore spot since Ferguson and Mangold left. I don't think they've been the same. I want to see what Zach Wilson looks like. I think that's and the Jets have their defense to me is not going to be good. I think Mosley lost too much weight. Lawson's out now.
He's very light, ain't he?
Yeah, he's down into 220s, Jeff. The guy was playing at 250. And I don't know why you changed him. He was a monster.
220s or 230s?
It may be 230. You may be in the mid-230s. I mean,
I thought it was 235, 230.
Yeah. Richard Todd. You know, I had a Richard Todd football, Frank, as a kid. It was the Richard Todd football. Intercepted itself. It's scary. He was probably the second best quarterback in your history. And he had his own football named after himself. It's scary. But I think the Jets.
There we go, man. Here we go.
Oh, please. Please. Oh, big home run coming for Higashioka. Yes. Upper mid-deck 2-run bomb. Higashioka. Yankees 6-0.
Enough of that. All right.
Go
we
ahead.
We need some of these people to come online. Okay, we need to get Nassib in here.
I don't know where Nassib is. I talked to Nassib this week. His mind is everywhere but on football right now, so I would not count on Nassib to be around. But listen, the Jets have some question marks. I think the Giants' biggest question marks, Barkley's health. I think Patrick said it before, and I can't agree with him. I think this team will do really well. Win the division if Saquon Barkley returns to his rookie year and plays like that. There he is, Anthony Carey popping in. Hey guys, I'm so lost on the NFL this year with the loss of Donaldson. So I was upset with this guy. What the hell? What's he talking?
Anthony Carey, listen, bro. Unless you're coming back to New York, please stop.
I love you, Anthony. I mean, listen, I think there's a lot to There's a lot to worry about the Jets. The defense is not good. No secondary. Linebacker is a little suspect. I love their defensive line. I was looking forward to Quinnen Williams and Carl Lawson on the same line, but that ain't going to happen now. And then the Giants, listen, I got a lot of question marks. Tight end's a big question mark. Sam Darnold he's talking about. Okay.
Yeah, Donald.
Okay, I see Donald. I'm trying to figure. Okay. I think Sam Darnold's going to have a big year this year. I think you're going to be surprised. I do. That's one of those teams I'm going to follow a little bit in the preseason. I don't know how well he played. I did not get a chance to watch that. Watch their first game. But I think Sam Darnold might surprise you coming up. We'll see. But the Giants go as far as Barkley takes them. I think they're going to be really good defensively. That's why I think they're going to win their division. I don't think there's a really great offense in that division, and the Giants have the best defense in that division, hands down. So I'm on that one. I'm all over that one.
First of all, Cowboys are the best team in that division.
They're not the best team in that division.
Second of all,
yeah,
the Washington Redskins are the second best team in that division.
Oh, my God.
Third of all,
go ahead.
The Philadelphia Phillies are the third best division team in that division. Fourth of all,
damn.
Just about every other team left in the NFC is better than the New York Giants. And that I see the Giants this year, I'm telling you right now, are coming out of week two into week three, the right back wheel falls off. Just goes out that way. Never seen again.
Oh, my God.
Okay? Then as they're going a little further into the season, here comes the left front wheel. Just disappears. Goes off into the fog. Nobody knows where he went.
What are you going to do after week nine when they're 6-3? What are you going to do in week nine?
Not going to be 6-3.
When they're 6-3 after week nine, and I'm sitting here, when you come on and you're just going, I don't want to hear it. I just have to. What are you going to say?
I will be the first one on each and every single week waiting for you.
Yeah.
So that I can say another bad week by those New York Giants, baby.
I disagree. I think it's going to be a good year for the Giants. And I think it starts and ends with their defense. I think their defense is going to be the best in that division by far. And with nobody else having a real good offense in that division, I think the Eagles are going to be bad offensively. I obviously think that the Redskins are going to be terrible offensively. And I'm a big believer that I think there's something seriously wrong with Dak Prescott's arm and just not telling anybody.
He's fine.
I think you're wrong. I don't see anything. What are you flashing at me, you knucklehead? Hard Rocket Sports, Jeff and Tom. Yeah, Frank. I think I start 0-1, Frankie. I'm not predicting anything on the first game of the year. But I'll say this, they'll be 6-3 by week nine. That's all I'm gonna say.
They're not gonna be 6-3.
6-3. Or 7-2. I'll take 7-2. What the hell?
They're not gonna be
let's see what else. Oh, Jeff, let's talk.
Let me ask you something. What are you gonna say if they start off 0-4?
I'll be very disappointed if the Giants start 0-4.
I said, what are you going to say if they
start? I don't know. Let me see how they lost. I mean, you know, again, I want to see improvement. Now, again, I don't want to see good games and they fall apart at the end. They had a ton of them last year. So I want to be different. Listen, if the Giants are any worse than 2-2 after four games, I'm going to be very upset. 1-3, 0-4, you know, I think it's they have a very easy, not easy schedule, but they have a winnable schedule the first five games. So I need them to be 3-2 coming out of those first five games. 4-1 would be great. 3-2 would be perfect. So I'll take it. We'll see. I know you're not going to give it to me, but I'm telling you, come my birthday weekend, and they're sitting there at 3-1, you're going to be going, oh, man, I don't want to get to Thursday. I'm going to listen to this all week long, blah, 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 blah. So I'm telling you. But we'll see. Lots of time to get there. Big games this weekend for both teams. Again, only two more preseason games. So we'll get there's a lot of stuff. There's still a lot of open things out there. Yes, who's going to be a starter in Chicago? Who's a starter in Denver? I think that's a big one. I saw some of the practices for the Saints. You know, who's starting quarterback? Who's going to be starting quarterback there? In New England, I think Cam Newton's going to start, but Mac Jones played pretty well in game one. There's a lot of stuff to still be talked about, Jeff, in this.
Yeah, and then when do we make the switch in the swamp, man? When do we take Jones out and put in the next giant quarterback?
Daniel Jones is the 17-game starter, 10-game winner, 3,900 yards this year, 25 touchdowns, 18 interceptions, and the division title. I'm telling you, calling it right now. Write it down. Write this down.
I'm glad you wrote it down because that's probably what his line is going to be. Only with like 17 fumbles, too.
Jeff, let's talk a little music right now. We haven't talked any music all so far tonight, so I want to get some music in before we call it an early night. I've seen a lot of stuff lately. Bruce Dickinson was raving about it. Somebody else. I think it was Brian May. There was three or four people who all were raving about Metallica's Black album, Game Changer, set new standards. You know, I'm not anti-Black album by any stretch, but I don't think out of the first few albums that to me that's even close to being their best. What's your thought on the Black album? You know, you used to be a pretty decent Metallica fan.
I never had a problem with the Black album.
Would you rank that up there as a game changer, though?
Somewhat.
Yeah, yeah. Why?
Well, because the video for Enter Sandman came out and was all over the place, so almost as much, if not more so, than one.
Okay.
They went on a massive, massive tour with Guns N' Roses. James Hetfield almost went on fire.
That's true.
They went from being an almost a full-time thrash band to a radio-friendly metal band, almost.
I think that's a big one.
Very close to it.
Yeah, I think that's
so
a big
that
one.
Had something to do with it, too.
I think that's a big part of it. I think it commercialized metal better than any other album before it, and it made it more mainstream. I think that's where I agree with you.
I don't know if that did that. I mean, you got to remember some of the other commercial metal bands that were around at the time. I still wouldn't call it a commercial album.
I would.
It was the most commercial album that Metallica put out to date.
Yeah, but Jeff, you're talking about albums that were radio friendly.
Well, there's a lot of songs on there that are not radio friendly too.
Okay, but even the best albums from commercial artists, they have not every one of them make the radio. So, I mean, I just think that I liked it. I bought it. I still own it. I'm no problem with it. I just don't think it's a game. I think their earlier albums were bigger game changers. I think their earlier albums were just different. And Ride the Lightning and, you know, all the Justice for All, those were game changers in my book. I don't see the Black album as a game changer, except that it made metal, maybe the harder metal, fresh metal, a little more commercially accepted.
Listen, you got to remember, the Black album came out right after, of course, And Justice for All with no bass on it.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, they came out with a radio-friendly single, Enter Sandman. They came out with a video that was on MTV, God knows how many times a day. Okay? And it just, you know, it was a big album at the time. I mean, everybody was complaining about Injustice for All. And I mean, Enter Sandman wasn't a terrible song.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a commercial song. So who cares?
Oh, I agree.
No big deal.
No, I agree. No, I agree. But now when I go, let me ask you this question. If you're going digging through your album collection, you're going through your iPod, and you were looking, would you be stopping first at, and you wanted to listen to some Metallica, would you be stopping at the Black album, or would you be going back further?
Honestly,
yeah, honestly,
it depends on my mood.
What would be the song you were running to, you were running back to see? That the plan that your plan almost worked. That's what I almost said.
My plan almost worked.
That your plan worked. I mean, I'm sorry. That you,
oh,
yeah. I almost
okay.
said it. I had to catch myself.
Oh, okay.
So,
I mean, listen, it depends. Frank, I'll explain that in a second. So please bear with me 1 second. It depends. First of all, there's some good stuff on all of the albums.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of Kill 'Em All. I like it. It's not the greatest. I'd rather Ride the Lightning. Ride the Lightning got For Whom the Bell Tolls,
mm-hmm.
Fight Fire with Fire, you know, some good heavyweight songs.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Master of Puppets with Damage Incorporated and Battery and Disposable Heroes. So you got some fast, aggressive stuff. There's some stuff like Sad But True, heavy, fucking slow, grindy stuff off of the Black Album, Holier Than Now. There's a couple others that are on it. So it would really have to make me think, like, what am I in the mood to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go with something off of Ride the Lightning, to be honest with you. But, Frank, to answer your question, if you listen to And Justice for All, you can't hear no bass on that album. Nothing. And they admitted it themselves. I don't know why they mixed it the way they did, but you don't hear much of, at all of any bass.
Mm-hmm.
So the album has no bottom to it. It's all guitar. And you listen to the Black Album or you listen to Master of Puppets before that, and it has some punch. It has a bottom. And it's a big complaint that a lot of people had about Injustice for All. And if you go on YouTube, you could punch in Injustice for All with bass.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear somewhat what I'm saying. They remixed it with more bass, not they, somebody else remixed it and put bass into it, and,
mm-hmm.
and you'll hear a big difference. But there's like no bottom in Justice for All. So, but, you know, Tommy, as far as like Anthony Carrier, right, Nothing Else Matters, that was a big hit for them. Yes, it was. But you know what? So was One.
Yeah.
You know, so they had a couple ballads and, listen, they were still selling out everywhere they went. So what difference does it make? They had people all over the place looking for them to play.
No, I don't think it hurt their career by any stretch. I just never considered it a game-changing album. I think it was a good album. It was a fun album. I loved a lot of the stuff before it better. But I never had a problem with that album. And to be honest with you, I think that was the last good album, a great album they had. I don't think after that. What are we calling after that? After that, you go.
Yeah, Load and Reload.
Not huge fans, but go ahead. Okay.
Saint Anger. Before Saint Anger, you had the album of copy songs.
Okay, I'm just going by the studio album. So I'm saying Saint Anger, and Death Magnetic.
Saint Anger, mm-hmm. Saint Anger was not a bad album.
Yeah.
If you could get past the Lars's drum sound,
mm-hmm.
there were some great songs.
Is that the one that they did no solos on? Wasn't it one? What was the one?
No solos on it, and it sounded like his drum was a bucket.
Yeah, so I mean, they were trying too hard. I mean, I don't know. I never liked it, to be honest with you. Death Magnetic after.
They were trying too hard, but it sounds like Sweet Amber. That's a pretty heavy song. And, you know, All Within My Hands is another pretty one, a heavy one. And then they went to Death Magnetic.
Mm-hmm.
And Death Magnetic was a lot more like their older stuff. But to be honest with you, Frank, you're asking if I like the newer stuff. I have never once listened to any songs off of the last album.
Hardwired. I like the Hardwired. I think that was a good album. It's not one of those albums that I go to a lot, but I thought it was a really good attempt to recapture some of their early sounds. So I enjoyed Hardwired.
I refuse to listen to Hardwired
mm-hmm.
because they went almost 10 years
yes.
between Death Magnetic to Hardwired, okay? Oh. And I stuck with them with Load and Reload and Saint Anger when everybody else was saying they suck, and I was like, nah, they're great. There's some good songs. And then all of a sudden one day I was like, you know what? It's been like 8 years since they put out a new album. And I'm still, you know, telling people I love this band and this kind of other. I was like, you know what? Fuck this band. I can't be bothered listening to this shit because they ain't giving us anything new.
Well, I mean, Jeff, from the Black Album to Load was 5 years, right? Then they went 1 year for Reload, and then it was 6 years between Reload and Saint Anger, 5 years to Death Magnetic, and then 8 years to Hardwired. This is not a band that works that hard.
Well, yes and no. They don't work in the studio hard, But once they get going, they'll take an album and they'll go out on tour with it for 300 shows a year. Okay.
Agreed.
But you know what? Don't do 300 shows a year for the next 3 or 4 years. And you know, continuously go out and tour and tour and tour and tour and tour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's great and everything else, but you know what? You could find somewhere along the line, stop here and record a song, do this, record some tracks.
Yeah.
Do something to get everything going, get everything on the way, because I really think that, you know, the fans are the ones that are missing out. You know, Metallica is going to be closing in on 60 years old, these guys.
Yeah.
I think, matter of fact, I think James Hetfield is probably 58, 59 years old. You're talking about, you know, guys that are going to be hitting 60 soon.
Yeah.
How many more heavy albums are you going to put out?
Yeah.
You know, I can't picture guys 62, 63 years old putting out some fucking real fucking headbanging shit. You know what I mean? I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, listen, guys, there are still plenty of guys out there doing their thing. And let's see, Hetfield is 1963, so he's 4 years older than I am. So Hetfield's only 57.
Well, no, Hetfield's 58.
August 3rd. So yeah, okay, yes, 58, yes.
Okay, so he's 2 years away from being 60. In 4 years, he could collect Social Security.
Listen, I've stopped being a fan of the band because I think they've lost their edge. I don't think they work hard enough. I think they're pompous and arrogant. And I will go back and listen to the early stuff, but I'm not a fan of I wouldn't call myself a fan of the band.
No, I hear you.
But yeah, I think the one knock I can have on them, Jeff, listen, they've done it really well. They're one of the biggest bands of American rock bands, hard rock bands, heavy metal bands of all time. So you can't piss on their parade. But I don't think they've given the fans enough, considering, you know, they've been around for a long time, almost 40 years, and we've barely got 10 albums.
Yeah, that's a big thing, man.
Yeah, I do. I think that hurts the legacy a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's a big, it'll be a big knock, but, you know, 20 years, Jeff, we were sitting around the table playing cards with the boys, you know, and they've gotten 11 albums to the day, you know. I knock Guns N' Roses because they've got next to nothing in their vault. I think, you know, they're one of the greatest debut albums of all time. But once you get through that, it's a handful of albums, and most of them aren't any good. So
I hear you, man. I hear you.
So I think that's my one big knock on them is I don't think they put out enough material to warrant their place in the history of metal bands. As a touring act, they've probably done it better than anybody. They're still selling. No, I'm talking about Metallica. They've still done it better than everybody else because they still go out today and they sell out any stadium they play. So you can't knock it that way.
No, I don't know if they're going to still have the same appeal, Tom. You know, I really don't know if they're going to be able to do that. And but like some like they were once able to. That's why I think they needed the Big Four to help them out, man.
Well, they certainly helped the other three bands out. But yeah, listen, I mean that was something that was a big piece. But I still think they got enough juice out there that if they threw out a concert, now listen, could they go out on their own and do that? Maybe they need another band to kind of help out a little bit, but
I think they need another band, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, I think so. Frankie, and I agree with you. They need to put they need like 40 Kiss compilation albums, you know, where you get the same 40 songs and just rotate them between different albums. But I will be at their last show, Frankie. I'm going to the last show.
It looks like they're playing again. I seen somebody,
yeah,
was at their shows in, I guess, Boston area was they were playing?
Yeah, Carmine, our good friend the doctor, was at a Guns N' Roses show not too long ago.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the last album, last shows for a while.
You think so?
I think so, man. Unless you have, you know, the vaccination, I think it's going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, here's what I can't figure out. And not to take the topics off of sports and music, but you brought up a good point. You know, they tell everybody to get the shot. Okay, make sure you wear a mask anyway because the shot doesn't really help with everything. Oh, yeah, and every 8 months, you got to go, and 8 months from now, you got to get a booster shot. Well, I can't figure it out.
Did you see that? They said if you're vaccinated by a certain date, you're not going to have to get the booster shot.
I didn't hear that. Okay, so God, yeah.
At least this is what I heard. If you're vaccinated after this date in September, you need to get another shot in 8 months.
Everything I heard so far, that all the people who've done it in January, February, March are coming up to needing a booster. Now, I think that one of the three didn't need a booster. I know the Johnson & Johnson one, I believe, definitely needed a booster. I think the Pfizer one, which my wife did, doesn't need a booster. I did the Moderna. I'm doing my second one. And again, guys, reluctantly, I did it to help to back up my wife. But I believe that I will have to do a booster 8 months from September 4th. But so I don't get it.
September 4th?
I think I have to go September, sometime that weekend, 4th, 5th, 6th. Yeah, see, Frankie said you have to get it after 8 months. Yeah, so.
I went Tuesday.
Oh, you did? Any issues?
Yeah, I got a shot.
I had the same issues as you, but I did get sick the next day from it.
No, I didn't get anything. That's good. My arm was a little sore. Here's one for you. Here's a kick in the teeth. The guys I work with, they found this place to get tested.
Okay.
So we went to go get tested.
Uh-huh.
And not blood tests, not fucking shoving the fucking thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not doing that. That's how fucked up I am. I would rather go get the shot than have them give me the fucking swab in the nose. I'm not doing that.
I don't blame you there. I get freaked out by that as well. I agree.
Yeah. So anyway, I get tested for the antibodies.
Okay.
But this place actually puts a number on your antibodies.
Okay.
Usually the last times I got tested for the antibodies, they said you either have them or you don't have them.
Correct. That's the.
Happens is the antibodies are valued at 79 and less. You do not have antibodies.
Okay.
80 and more, you have antibodies.
Okay.
So one guy went before me. He had COVID around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the shot and the virus, and his antibodies were 250. Okay. Now, I know that I had COVID for 2 days, mind you,
mm-hmm.
2 days last March into April or early April.
Correct. Same time I had it. Yeah.
For 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I feel as though I was exposed again in December because I asked them to check my antibodies in July,
mm-hmm.
then November. And I had them in July. I didn't have them in November.
Okay.
And then I had them again in January.
Mm-hmm.
But in December, I was exposed to five other people that actually tested positive for the virus. Okay? So now, I'm going that I just had it in March, April. I had a value of 220. But yet this other guy I work with had 250, who had the virus 8 months after I did and had both shots.
Wow.
And his antibodies were 250. I'm saying that I haven't had it since last year in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and my antibodies were 220. Now, I take vitamin C. I take zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D every day. So I don't know if that had something to do with it or whatever, but I would have no choice because if you want to go someplace, you need to get the shot. You want to go out to eat, you need to get the shot.
Yep, that makes it difficult.
If I didn't get the shot, I'd have to wear a mask all day long at work, and I'm not fucking doing it. I didn't wear a mask in the height of it. I'm not wearing a mask now. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I don't know. I listened to your boy Joe Biden yesterday, and he got people being killed and falling off airplanes, and he was talking about having to wear a mask and COVID shots and booster shots. And I got to tell you, he's the most annoying. I almost feel bad for the guy. He's so inept. He couldn't screw things up any more than he's already screwed them up. But I can't hear it anymore. I avoid the news. I can't hear about masks and Delta variants. And, you know, one minute this is going to be herd immunity. Then the next minute we may never get rid of it. I just can't take it anymore. I honestly can't.
No, you know what I think? I think the bottom line is that they want to push this fucking vaccine on every single person that they can.
I
They're
agree.
Gonna, it is their goal to vaccinate as many fucking people in the world as they can. And that's all there is to it.
No.
That is all there is to it. They're not going to stop until it's done.
I agree. They are forcing people. So I'm Gumari Lou. Welcome back from the B-ball. And no, that my man is Sleazy Top. He's not ZZ Top. Say hello to Lou. Lou saying hello to you, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm getting picked on unnecessarily, man. And this is why I say that I'm being pushed out, man.
Yeah, Frankie, I know you're talking about it, and you're 100%. Out. Yeah, you're not being pushed out, you dick. You're such a dickhead. Oh, my God. He's such a dickhead.
I'm sorry, Pinky.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom. We're talking a little less. We cut across some music right now. We're in a social justice meeting. Talking about the vaccines. Yeah, I don't know. Again, listen, your boy Sleepy Joe scares the crap out of me. And every time he opens his mouth, I want to puke. But,
things have spiraled out of control.
Oof.
I don't know if anybody knows what to say at this point in time. What do you do? What do you do?
With what?
With anything. With any of this. What do you do?
Well, are we still on the vaccines?
No, we're just on
anything. Oh, listen, the guy's a horror.
Hey, do you take this guy out of office and you put in Kamala Harris?
No, nope, you can't do it. You're stuck.
And then if you take him out and you put her in, who's her vice president?
I don't know how that works. I think we tried to figure that out once. I don't know if it becomes the Speaker of the House. If they could just nominate somebody, I don't know the answer to that. Does anybody know that? What happens if the vice president becomes president? Who is the vice president at that point? Is there a vice president? That's a really good point. I don't have that answer.
When Gerald Ford became a president, he took over the presidency from Richard Nixon.
Right.
So I forget who his
was. It Spiro Agnew?
No. I don't know who his vice president was. I know it wasn't Spiro Agnew.
Okay, I'm just throwing names out there.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't – anybody with a half a brain, if you watch the news for 5 minutes, you can't help but say, this guy's totally inept. I mean, the border is shot. Yeah, I think it is the Speaker of the House. I think the Speaker of the House becomes vice president because they're third in line.
Nelson Rockefeller became Ford's vice president.
Yeah, I think Franklin, because third in line, I think, is the Speaker of the House, and then I think it's like the Secretary of the Interior is like fourth in line. So I think that everybody moves up a spot, and then they vote a new Speaker of the House. I think the party in charge votes, and you wind up with the new Speaker of the House. But, this guy's a joke. I mean, what he's done in Afghanistan is so brutal and so disgusting. I don't even know how he faces it. I can't come up with one thing the guy's actually accomplished that's any good since he's been in office.
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
Okay. Now, clearly, something went terribly wrong in Afghanistan
because
it took them a little bit more than a week to recapture the entire country.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now... I'm not going to say that you got to blame Trump because he's not in office.
Correct.
Okay, so no matter what he did, no matter what he said, blaming him just makes no sense because he's not in office.
Correct.
So, yes, this mess definitely should be put in Biden's lap. But did anybody at all, Trump went to go negotiate with the Taliban.
He did.
Okay. Meaning that the Taliban must still be relevant at some point in time. After 20 years of bombing the fuck out of them, they're still relevant on some level if a president, a sitting president, was going to go negotiate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he went, he spoke to them, he negotiated with them, and this, that, and the other thing, whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
They were still here. They were still relevant. Did anybody think that knowing they were still around, that you were just going to pull the troops out of Afghanistan and that... nothing was going to happen. The Taliban were just going to be like, okay, we can't do this because they may come back. These people don't give a fuck.
No.
The police that were in place, the other government officials that were in place, They all just got up and left.
Yes. Yeah. They trained like 300,000 Afghanistan men and women were trained to be the police force, and half of them took off running.
Yeah. They all but just turned around and said, here, just go run.
Yeah, no.
The door on the side is open. I'm going out.
You know what, Jeff? At this point, I don't say this with a mean spirit, but, you know, you're Afghanistan, you have to figure it out for yourself. You know, there was no way in the world that you were going to stay there, unless you were going to stay there the rest of time, there was no way in the world that we were going to leave there and that country wasn't going to fall. Trump said it, you know, we can't stay there and be their police force forever. If the Afghanistan people were not going to stand up for themselves, there was nothing we were going to do to fix that. The only thing I'll say for Biden was, you should have said, first off, why would you take over an airport that's not a military airport to get people out? So you should have got everybody into the military airport. And then I would have left all the troops there, said everybody gets out. We got everybody out, not only the Americans, but like the 60,000 Afghan people who worked with us for the last 20 years. You're gonna try to do something for those people who want to get out. And then you go, okay, kill each other. There's nothing we can do. We can't police the entire world. If you want to train all these people and then they want to just walk away and let the Taliban in, there's nothing you can do. And as long as it doesn't affect us, you know, move on. But the way he handled it, it's disgusting. And he's got people, there are actual Americans over there that they're basically saying, we can't help you unless you get to the airport yourself. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. But the Taliban went on TV and said that they would take women in the government. So they're being cool about it. So.
Well, again, we'll see. But right,
of course, Tom, you can't trust them.
No, absolutely not. And Trump, when they negotiated that deal, there was about 17 different clauses in there that said, Trump was on TV the other night, and he said, I sat across from the leader of the Taliban. And we had a nice conversation. We talked. And he said to him, let me tell you this. If you mess with us, the first place we go is your village. And we wipe it out. And I told him the name of the village. He knew. I knew exactly where he lived. And I told him, if you want to play nice, we play nice. He said, if you don't, we will rain down on you on you than you could ever imagine ever in this world. So I suggest that you play nice. And the guy left and everything was terrific. Biden gets into office and all goes out the window.
Yes, because you know why? Because
Biden's incompetent.
Because they knew that Biden wasn't going to do anything.
Correct.
And also, Trump could say whatever the fuck he wants to say. Anybody could have said whatever they wanted to say. Okay? You're dealing with people that do not fear getting killed. They feel as though they're going to a better place.
Jeff, I think that's all. I think that's all well and good for a lot of the young kids, people who don't know. I guarantee you, every one of those leaders, they all do the same thing, and they all want to live. And Trump said the guy was.
Of course, anybody wants to live, but they all feel as though they're going to a better place. Also, there's something better than there is here. Okay. If you turn around and you said to me, okay, listen, I'm taking every single person